being a preacher is a torment. And me and Sam was losing his brother Hughes. And Hughes was worried. And I said to Sam, and he hugged me after I said this, I said, it's good to see somebody miserable. It is good. I'm going to bring some names. That is generally something I don't like to do when I'm in a pulpit. But to make the purpose of why I chose this particular topic to preach on, I don't know how I could really make it to where you understand it. First of all, I went to the Washington Association a couple of years ago. And they had an old outhouse that was falling down. And almost the roof had fell into the depthness of it. And this outhouse was probably net being tore down about 30 or 40 years. And it was hard places to park in this lot at the Slate Creek Primitive Baptist Church in Virginia. And we got done, I looked at Brother Danny and I said, Brother Danny, why don't y'all tear that outhouse down? That would probably give you at least 6 more cars to be parked there. He said, Brother Tony, I've talked to him about that. But he said that's where their grandpa and their grandmas and their dads and their moms used the bathroom, and they just can't do without it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is tradition. This is tradition. When we get so into what tradition is, or we see another denomination do something, we traditionally want to rebuke. We want to take the opposite of what maybe. What we always should do is stand for the Scriptures.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I told my wife, I said, when I die, if you sing one song, I want this one song to be Just As I Am. That's my talk today. I come just as I am. I stand in this pulpit just as I am. I told Carl Ray, I'm just as I am. She said, well, Tony, you look all right. She misunderstood me. But you see what I'm talking about. That's what I was going to preach on today, is just as I am. We come up here just as I am, just as we can be. And you know, when we look at Brother Tommy told me what really it bothered me. I've heard this through time that Just I Am is an Armenian song. Told Billy Graham sang it, that don't make it a good song no more. Well, he goes to church with shoes. Should we come to church barefooted? He goes to church and he eats after church. Should we quit eating because he eats? Let me tell you something. I think that it's a wonderful song, Just As I Am. If we turn to the first book of this right here and open up the page, we can see that it has a history of elders who picked out these songs and said these songs were good. Elder Haynes, or Hanks, back in the 1920s. A great thing that should teach you that how you can get in tradition and get away from the truth. Why do I like Just Am? I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But the writer of Just As I Am was written by Charlotte Elliott. She was born in 1789 and died in 1871. The notes of it was written by William B. Bradbury. He was born in 1816 and died in 1868. He also wrote the tune to Sweet Hour Prayer. So does that make that? You know, the song, one of the reasons that was a little bit of stinkish of me to tell you to sing 247. Because it is the same tune as Just As I Am. Elder, you know, and here's what Amazing Grace. The Armenian sings that. Should we quit singing that? Should we quit singing Sweet Hour Prayers? That's the same thinking of that bathroom sitting there that should have been tore down. It stinks. Let me tell you something. Then you go in there, and how great the foundation is. That was written by the same elders put in here many years ago of the Baptists. And if we only sung songs that were written by the Primitive Baptists in these books here, we'd only have about 30 songs. So most of the Armenians have been writing more songs than we have. It's just that back in the old days, there wasn't that much difference in the Armenians' belief than they are our belief today. If you look at the ones we use, we can see that. But you see, when you start throwing something out, there. Now, Tommy said that he got up at his church here a few Sundays ago, and his sister named Sister Spicer. And she put her hand across her arms like this and said, if you sing that song one more time and walk out, that is an Armenian song. So, make a long story short, Brother Junior Woods said, well, you know something, that's just not a Primitive Baptist song. And then Brother David Bailey, Elder David Bailey, said, well, the problem with that song is it's not sung in the right tune. So he sung it in another tune. Let me tell you something. God's Word is not written by tunes. It's not there. God's Word is true words. I believe that everything and every fiber in my body that the Word of God is true.
Amen.
I believe today that y'all could write songs and they'd be true. I don't think it's got to do with a woman writing a song or a man writing a song. It's got to do if the words in that song is right. I think that's what I'm saying there. If we go to Psalms 100, and it says, makes a joyful noise unto the Lord, ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You know, what did we have this morning before we got started? We had singing. Was we not making a joyful sound, a joyful noise to our Father in heaven? Was we not praising our Lord which is in heaven? Was we not giving Him glory? And it says, know you the Lord God is that He has made us, and not with ourselves, not with ourselves, that we are His people and the sheep of His pastures. You know, when we think of that, we think of how beautiful that is. Why wouldn't you want to? You know, when I was in love with my wife, when I just first got started with her, I was singing love songs to her. You know how you get there? But see, the Lord, your love, you sing love songs to Him. Thank you, God. Amazing grace. You saved a wicked witch like me. You see, God is something to sing about. He is something to praise about. Then we look in talking about, we go to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verse 19. Now listen to what it says there. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Now when it says singing to yourself, means here together, we come as a group. We are ourselves. We're singing to ourselves. Each and every one of us that sings. I don't do very good singing, because I don't want to get a ticket for disturbing the peace. But we do come here and we do sing the songs there in melody to ourselves, glorifying whom? God. Now, you know, when we open up this beautiful book, the 330, and I think everybody's got one there, I want to just right here start off. Just as I am, without a plea. You know, there was a man praying, and he was telling all them, he said, I know, I've done these things, I've fasted, I've done all these wonderful things. God, I know that you're going to hear me. But there was one over there said, God, have mercy upon me. Without a plea. How did you come to God? How did you come to knowledge of God? The Bible tells us how we come to knowledge of God. You must be born again of the Spirit, of the water and the Spirit, before you see the kingdom of God. And did you plead for that? Did you do anything for that water? Did you do anything? You know, when that woman was up there, and the Jesus said, where is your condemners? She wasn't pleading. She wasn't doing nothing. He says, where's your completers there? Your condemners. She says, I have seen none. He says, neither do I. Is that not sovereign grace? She came to Him without one plea. Without one thing there. Because the mercy of God had been upon her and saved her and cleansed her. Is that song somewhere? You see that? Anything wrong in that? I come to God without a plea. I come to you with mercy, oh gracious God. I remember when I joined the church, I come to the pulpit. And I was crying, and I was saying, I want a home. I wasn't pleading for a home, but I was crying because the door had been unlocked. You see, who holds that key? It tells us in Revelation that Jesus holds the key to death and life. That key had been unlocked, and He says, He stands at the door, and who shall knock? He shall let him in. You know what? They got that backwards. The Armenians don't have that right. But see, He stands at the door and knocks, and He shall be open. When you turn to God without a plea, He shall open that door. How beautiful can it be? You know what? Without a plea, let's go to Matthew 11. And it's so beautiful here when it says, Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all you laborers and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Without a plea. He didn't do anything for it. And listen here. And take your yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and I shall find rest unto your soul. Amen?
Amen.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What? You know, now listen here. But that blood which shed for me. Oh, how beautiful is that? You know, we go over into Romans 3. Let's see what it says. That blood that was shed for me, Romans 3:23. Now, let me tell you, this is a person here that's writing a song that I felt to be the most wretched sinner in the world. And I come to a God who had paid my debt. And let's see right there, and it says, plead, but the blood was shed for me and hideth me thee, O God, O Lamb of God. I come. Now let's see what there says, the blood was shed for me. In Romans 3:26, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen right here. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that it is in Christ Jesus. Now, if it is right here, you're cleansed through the blood. And right there in Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to propitiate through faith in His blood. Now that blood is what cleansed you. Do you see anything wrong about that right there, brothers? If that ain't Primitive Baptist doctrine, I don't know what is. Now, this woman was not a Primitive Baptist, but she knew our doctrine. And you know why I believe she knew the doctrine here was right? It was because she had been born of that Spirit. And when you're born of that Spirit, you understand stuff. You know there's nothing you can do to earn it. You can't work yourself to heaven. And this is not, Stone's not teaching that. It says, I come. I want to find a place to rest. I want to find a place, and I feel the presence of God drawing me. Well, we look here, and in the second, and awake is not rift my soul one dark blot. You see, there's not no blemishes on Christ. He is the spotless Lamb of God. Let me tell you, how would you cleanse? How would you save? How are you going to go to heaven? Through the blood and the remission of God, and no other way. The Bible tells us, without the remission of blood, there would be no eternal life. That is the only way that the remission of sin is through the blood. That is the only way you can be cleansed. Now, let me ask you, if you come to God, you cannot save yourself. You know what? The apostles were given grace there in chapter 13 of Corinthians. They were given great gifts. And when they died, it was over with. And they was able to bring the dead back to life, to this natural life. But they was not able to bring them from the dead to go to heaven. There was only one that could do that. And His name was Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the true resurrection. He is the only way. And I come to Him begging. No, I come to Him because He's paid that sin debt for me. And what He's done, He's made me realize the sinner that I am. He made me realize how unworthy I am. God have mercy upon me. And we see He's cleansed us of spots. And it says right here, I am tossed and about with many conflicts and many doubts. The Bible tells us in Matthew's, come you laborers. But let's just talk about this right here. And fear without. Jesus tells us in John 6:37. No, you know, it's 6:37. Let's look at what it says there. And this is Primitive Baptist doctrine that we lean on very much. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Where was the plea there? Did you plead for that? No. This is a gift. This is a free gift given to you by whom, God? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us in Ephesians. It tells us there in 2 Ephesians, verse 2. But you have been quickened. You have been quickened and a trespasser of sin. And how do you come to God? Without a plea. You take that plea out of that song, and it doesn't say you come and you shall receive. It says without a plea. In other words, God has called you. He's bringing you forth. What do you see there in this book? For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And it's the Father's will. Now listen to this. It's the Father's will which He has sent me, that all which He has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again the last day. my Father, that Jesus tells us in John 10. For my shepherd, and when I am the great shepherd, and when my sheep hear my voice, they shall come. Where's the plea there? Where is that plea? Do you not see that? And let me tell you, and why do you get to come to Him? Because you was chosen in Him. You was chosen from the foundation of the world to stand. What does it tell us in Ephesians? According to whose word? God's word. That we should stand blameless according to whose will? God. Where's the plea at? What did you do to go plea? But I tell you what we do. We do ask God to have mercy upon us. We do ask God to give mercy unto us. And why do we do that? Because we become of a child. We come to that awakening. But listen to this. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it says right here in this same thing that we receive, we welcome pardon and cleanse, revive, because thou promised, I believe, O God. In the first book of Titus, it tells us a God who cannot lie to the elect. Where's the plea there? This is not a judge and jury court. God does not have a jury. He is God. He is the judge. And He don't need a jury to rule to tell Him if you're guilty or not. He's already passing sentence. And when did He pass that sentence? When He called you out of blemish. Not because, you know why? Right here, if you look in the fourth, there, just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight, rich, and healing of the mind. When God comes into your heart, what do you start feeling? You start feeling the healing of God enter into your soul. You start feeling the healing of God turning you around and telling you what's right from wrong. I've heard so many people say, well, you know something, Brother Pat, I'm going to get born again, and then I'm going to accept Christ, and then I'm going there. But you know, they say, then I'm going to repent, then be baptized, and then be born again. Let me tell you something. You cannot understand what being born again unless you've been born of the Spirit which was given to you from the Father. No one can come unto me unless the Father draws them. Let me tell you, that is your plea. That is your plea that lets you know that you are a wretched sinner. And then when you feel to be a wretched sinner, then you know that song, I've come just as I am. And we look over there in Romans 6:18-23. And it says right there, but now being made free from sin because of the service of God, your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Let me tell you, you cannot come unto that unless you've been feeling something that's drawing you. And how do you get drawn to this power of God? Unless God Himself intervenes and drags you out of there and gives you a knowledge of that mind. That you find the soul there that soothes your mind. Is that not what she wrote that song, to soothe her soul? How do you find the food of soul when people says, I come to church, to be fed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What does the gospel of Jesus Christ do? It feeds you that spiritual food that you need. And Brother Ronnie back there said one time, he said, when I'm in church, I don't feel good. Now, you know, let me tell you something. Why do you not feel good? Because you've not eaten. And have you ever been worked? I got lost one time, was lost 2 days. I had nothing to eat. I was hungry. So when I sat down there at that plate of food, I ate fast. But let me tell you something. When you ain't been in church for a long time, you want to sit there and you want to eat of that food. And it's a different kind of feeling there. You know, a lot of times when my wife and we were traveling out, she said, you want to go to McDonald's and get one of them burgers? And I said, no, I don't. I just soon to starve, because as soon as I eat one, I'm hungry. Let me tell you something. They don't fill me up. I want to eat that old Baptist food that fills me, that goes through the bones of my stomach and fills me up. That food that runneth over and holds me in place. Not because there. I stand before you just as I am. But let me tell you something. When she wrote there, and you go to Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of the death? Let me tell you, you cannot be delivered from the God there unless God has paid that price for you. He's the one that went to the Father upon that cross. And he said, Father, I come to give eternal life as many as thou gave me. You know where the plea was? It was there when Jesus pleaded to the Father and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That is the plea of eternal life. And Jesus says, I come to give eternal life as many as thou gave me. Where is your plea? Who is your lawyer? Who is your one that set you free? That was Jesus Christ there. That was Jesus Christ that set you free. Without a plea, I come. I come just as I am, as an old Lord weary soldier. I come. But let me tell you something. I would not want a battle for Jesus if there wasn't something burning in my heart. You know, I've had people tell me that, you know, that our orders are not going to go to heaven. That's hogwash. Let me tell you, though, they ain't got a home in heaven. They just don't, may not know the knowledge that we've got. And let me tell you something. When you go to Romans 10, Paul says that they had the knowledge and the seal of God upon them, but they have ignorance. They're ignorant of it. That is sovereign grace there, preacher, if you've ever preached it. It's sovereign grace that God gives them the knowledge of. Where is their plea? Let me tell you something. You don't have to beg God for eternal home. It was given to you. You come and you walk and you believe in Jesus. And I asked y'all here last time, and I'm going to preach a whole sermon on sometime. Are you committed to God? I'm going to say, yes, we should be. Why shouldn't you be committed to God? If that sounds Arminian, let it sound it. Let me tell you, are you committed to go play golf this week? Mr. and Mrs. Grubb, are y'all not committed to serve each other for the rest of your until death do you part? Is that not a commitment? Is it not a commitment that you come to church? All God is saying is, commit yourself to me. And if you don't commit yourself to Jesus, then you must be thinking about James 4:8. Draw near to me, and I shall draw near to you. That is a commitment. I've had people say, well, I don't want to go to the old church, and I don't want to be rebaptized. Then that tells me you're not committed. You don't want to commit yourself what it takes to be committed to the church. I've seen brothers and sisters say, well, I would just join the church, but I just don't want to be y'all hypocrites. Let me tell you, be a hypocrite. Come on among us, brothers, and let's go to the water and be hypocritical together, because I don't want to hear that excuse no more. Let me tell you something. He tells us that we feel to be a righteous man. Let me tell you, you're never going to feel perfect. You cannot feel perfect. But God tells us, let's be perfect as our Father, which in heaven is perfect. That means complete. The word translated there means complete. Let's be grown up. And let's quit using these baby games excuses. Come forth as you are and be you separate from the world. The Bible tells us, come out among you, be you separate. Marvel not if the world shall hate you. The Bible tells us also there that He is the true vine. And you cannot abide in Him unless He abides in you. Where's your plea? I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to plead guilty. We're guilty sinners, and we are charged guilty sinners by the plea of our Lord Jesus. And only through the blood of our Lord Jesus, we have a right to go to heaven.
Amen.
I come just as I am. Amen. Let's hear all amen. Amen.
Amen.
We may choose a song.